Any objection to 10 minutes?
Is Grace ready? Let's ask Grace. Is she ready?
What do you want me to say about staff list?
See, Mr. Chair, I really got the feeling when I saw this agenda that this kind of caught me off guard, and I knew Sherna wasn't going to be there. So maybe
let me respond to Grace's question.
I think I remember vaguely that Sherna wanted something I wanted also.
Okay, so it's not clear what's to be done. The problem, of course, is that of actually identifying people who are genuine volunteers and actually meet the criteria in the bylaws from those who are not, and putting some procedures in place to actually do that. My sense is that as IED, you can make that happen if you want. There was actually a motion passed which was sort of part of that, which had to do with the collectives.
Right.
And making sure that was not being used as a way to game the system. And that's already been passed by the PNB. So I don't know, Grace, if there's anything more that we need to do here. And if you don't think there is, we'll just move on.
It's a kind of a conundrum with the collectives and with the staff list. The only solution, I had a solution in mind, but there may not be enough time to implement it. And that was that we would require sexual harassment training be done by all staff, paid and unpaid. And we would add an extra interface.
That weed them out.
We would add an extra interface to the beginning of it to gather the contact information for all paid and unpaid staff, including email addresses and including emergency contact information, which would be important for the station to have, but also to ask what their title is, what their duties are, and how many hours a month on average they volunteer, what their show is, what their function is as an unpaid staff member, et cetera, et cetera, so that it could be on record, and that would be a way to gather the unpaid staff list and make completion of the sexual harassment training mandatory before anyone could be considered a staff member, paid or unpaid, because that for paid staff, it's a California requirement by law. If we extend it to unpaid, I don't know that we have the time actually to get that implemented, but it would be a clever way to get the staff list.
I think it's brilliant. I think,
yeah, Mr. Chair, Sean.
It's deliciously clever.
It's deliciously clever. Hopefully, if they want to vote, they'll take the sexual harassment test, and it'll all work symbiotically. But I really think, and I'm happy you're doing that, but I also think that the motion that was passed by the PNB on the fact-finding on the collectives should be looked at separately, as well as in coordination with the sexual harassment sexual harassment training, due to the fact that some people may not be taking that sexual harassment test. So I want to make sure that we put a directive out to all the stations that independently give us this information. We can then compare that information with what we get from the sexual harassment training, and I do think that that's a very, very good idea, but I just don't want one to negate the other.
I don't disagree with that. I will have a conversation with Les Radke, who's a national election supervisor, who's had to grapple with this problem before and work out some sort of a way to get those unpaid staff lists. And
right.
To adjudicate if the names on them are legitimately qualify.
Correct.
Mr. Chair, Chris Condon?
Yes, Chris.
I would have to give my own experience here. I've been on the LSB for a while, and I'm on your committee. Nobody has ever asked me to take sexual harassment training or pointed me to where I could do it on my own.
KPFK completed sexual harassment training. There was sexual harassment training completed in 2007
mm-hmm.
by 200 people at KPFK and the National Office and the Archives completed that training, including LSB members. However, that has to be repeated every 2 years.
But in order to keep up with the changing staff and personnel, shouldn't it be something that is available to be done all the time?
Absolutely, because all new hires have to complete it within 6 months of being hired. So, absolutely. That's why we're instituting this, starting pretty soon.
Grace, is there anything that the committee needs to do in order to sort of provide a framework for which these lists can be scrutinized and cleaned up, or can you do it yourself as the IED?
Good question. I mean, it's going to be a difficult job to get those lists from some stations, but really, I tell you the truth, I'm really not sure yet how we're going to go about this. But I will consider it a pretty high priority.
Yeah, and
the election's coming up, so the votes are needed.
Mr. Chair, this is Sean. Grace, as a staff rep, this is a big issue with me, and I would be very happy if it is appropriate and proper to sit in with you and Les when you discuss this. And I mean, this is a very big issue with me. I've heard about it from other staff people. So if appropriate, because I don't want to be perceived as trying to work the referee, I'd love to at least be informed about what you guys decide, if not sit in on the discussion.
Okay. I'll talk to Les about that.
Okay. And whatever you decide, I don't care. It's just that this is a big issue with me, and any way I can be helpful or the staff can be helpful, we'd love to.
Okay. That's fine. I understand.
Any other comments on this issue?
I do have a quick comment, and that is it would be good to have support for this being done by all the stakeholders, local station board members, unpaid staff, as well as paid staff. The cost is very small. I think it's $15 per person, which I think is really reasonable. That would come to probably about $15,000 total for all units and all stations and the staff at the national office and all the LSBs. That would be all paid and unpaid staff. And I think it would go a long way to create a safer working environment and also to protect us in the future against HR lawsuits. So I think that the money would be well spent in not just having paid staff take the training, but also the other stakeholders. So support for that would be appreciated.
Absolutely. I have a question, two questions actually. The actual training, is that a website thing that you go to? Or
yeah, it's online.
It is online.
Yeah.
And is there some evidence that this actually does, in fact, diminish the incidence of sexual harassment in the workplace? Does it work? Do you know?
Yeah, I haven't studied that. I would imagine that that would.
Mr. Chair, this is Sean.
Yeah.
I've taken the test, and I was amazed how much I learned about sexual harassment and creating a hostile work environment. And understanding that it wasn't all just sexual. And, I felt I was much better informed to protect both myself from, being too charming, as well as the station. And I want to back up Grace's point. What this really does is it limits our liability in terms of court cases, because we can at least turn to the courts and say, yes, there might have been an incident, but we gave all of our employees this test to tell them not to do these things. We were, in fact, trying to stop these kind of incidences, and it does afford us some legal protection.
Okay.
And we have 41 seconds left, sir.
Grace, is it your suggestion that you'd like a motion coming out of this committee supporting the widespread use of these training procedures?
That would be good. I mean, I guess it should come out of the Finance Committee, but I guess that, yes, the governance should say that, I think, if you want to, that you support sexual harassment training, online sexual harassment training, be done by paid and unpaid staff and local station boards. The reason that we decided on having local station boards participate is sometimes staff complain to people on the local boards. And at our station, those complaints were not handled properly in several instances that I recall.
Todd.
Right.
And
okay.
That can become a legal problem.
Yeah.
Is there a motion to extend time for 5 minutes so we can actually craft a motion to that effect? Does anyone wish to do that?
Motion to extend for 5 minutes.
Any objections to extending for 5 minutes? Okay, hearing none. Something simple, I would think. The Governance Committee recommends that all paid and unpaid staff and LSBs take the sexual... What's it actually called, Grace?
Online sexual... online... anti-discrimination and sexual harassment training. It's called sexual harassment training, but it covers all areas
right.
of discrimination. So I would say anti-discrimination and sexual harassment training.
So I guess I can move that.
George, before you do, this is Ted. I would like to suggest that since we're talking about staff members, paid and unpaid, you not muddy the waters with the LSB being included in this. I think LSB members should avail themselves of this, but it says here in this document that station management is involved in the supervision, and one of the things that they can do in supervising paid and unpaid staff is to say that in order for you to qualify as either paid or unpaid staff, you have to take the sexual harassment training. But you can't say that for people running for or serving on the local station board.
But you can't, but I don't see that it matters that you can't. I mean, the PNB can say you have to take it.
Yeah.
But it can't disqualify somebody from running or voting or any of the other things or serving on an LSB.
You're saying we don't have any way of enforcing it?
Not only that, I think that it would open up a can of worms legally. But for staff, that's a different ballgame. I'm just reading the bylaw on the screen.
We're just making a recommendation from the Governance Committee that we think this is a good idea.
I think you'll save yourself a lot of hassle at the National Board meeting and get it to pass very easily if you don't muddy the waters with it, including the local station board.
Okay, so you want to amend it to take out the local station board.
Mm-hmm. I want it to pass, and I want it to be enforced.
One of our first offenders is on a local station board.
is there any other thoughts about whether we should require this for the local station board or not?
Yeah. Can I say something?
Yes, Lizette?
If we look at the origin of a lot of these complaints, they are from local station boards. So I am not sure how we will be muddying the waters to have everybody who is in any way associated with management of any part of the network to be aware of their conduct.
Absolutely.
George, this is Chris Condon.
Chris?
Is that our Paul, maybe?
And then our poll?
I would like to suggest a different orientation. We are creating an orientation of mandating that people do this. I think our orientation should be making it available. It is not currently available to do whether you wanted to do it or whether you didn't. I think that we should say we shall make this sexual harassment training that Grace has referred to available to local station board staff and
paid and unpaid staff.
And paid and unpaid staff and whatever they say. And it may be required of paid and unpaid staff, period.
Can I say something again?
Arbol is next. Arbol is next.
Okay. On the main motion, I don't see an amendment yet, by the way, but on the main motion, it says the governance committee recommends. The governance committee doesn't really have... I think the governance committee... pardon me, I got a cough.
The governance committee recommends that sexual harassment training be available on
Chris, please.
I'm sorry.
Paul has the floor. Paul, go ahead.
I think it should be something like the governance committee recommends to the PNB that all, you know, because it's not we're not an independent body.
I see your point.
And yeah. So I think we should just plug in recommends to the PNB that all.
I intended that. Thanks for catching it.
I didn't quite get that. We recommend what? Sorry.
The governance committee. PNB. In other words, the PNB can take action. The PNB passes motions that have some import. We really can only recommend to the PNB or urge or whatever,
right,
unless the PNB gives us power to act on something. We can't act.
I understand that.
Wheel of Time.
Okay. I heard and sort of put it out there as an amendment to what I had suggested. That Ted wants to remove the LSB from what we're who we're recommending should have access to this training.
George.
Yeah.
Actually, I definitely recommend that LSB members also avail them be provided with the opportunity to avail themselves of this training. But I don't think it's a requirement for being on an LSB. I think the bylaws, you can't amend the bylaws without going through the whole amending process.
Can I point of information?
Yes.
When did we suggest that this that we were going to suggest that this is a criteria for being on the LSB?
We did not. We did not. The motion is recommending that the PNB provide this training for the staff, the unpaid staff, and the LSBs.
Good. Thank you.
Is there any?
I'm sorry, but I thought we were saying that it is an absolute requirement to be a staff member, paid or unpaid.
Once you are a staff member, yes, I would agree with that. But it's not a prerequisite. Once you come in, because chair. Can we have another 2 minutes on this?
Move to extend time for 2 minutes. Is there any objection to that?
George, Chris Condon, please.
Is there any objection to extending time for 2 minutes? Let's make it 4 minutes. Any objection to 4 minutes? Hearing none. Chris?
No, Lizette.
The point I was making, Chair, is that the origin of our sexual harassment or whatever harassment we have, they come from the stations. And I am saying that once you're involved, everybody should be aware of their conduct. And it's important. Nobody is saying that you before you come into the network, you have to have it. But once you're here, you should be mandated to go to these things. This thing is costing us a lot of money.
On the back, Ted, after Chris.
I think what we need is an actual statement of what the motion is in front of us.
Give it a shot, please.
Paul, would you give it? Would you?
Yeah.
What is it you have?
I have the governance committee recommends to the PNB that all paid, unpaid staff and LSBs take online anti-discrimination and sexual harassment training.
Okay. So my sense is that doesn't say anything about how mandatory it is or anything about you lose your position on the LSB if you don't. It's a recommendation to the PNB that all those folks take the training. Is there any objection to that motion as it stands?
Yes, Ted.
Ted, what's your objection, Ted?
My objection is that I think it's a must. I think staff members must, as a qualification for being a staff member and having the right to vote, they must take this training, whereas LSB members, there's no wiggle room in the bylaws that would allow that. If it was there, I would support it, but there is wiggle room since
it... Let me speak to that. Grace asked for some support for making this happen. She can, and the GMs can make it a must, right? They can't make it a must for the LSB. The statement as it's written provides that support. It says who we think ought to be doing this, which includes the LSB, and it doesn't speak to those issues of, well, how do you enforce that or anything like that. So my sense is that it's fine the way it is, that it can be implemented the way it is, and that the GMs can make the distinction between people who are going to have to take it and the PNB can decide whether or not they want to insist that the people on the LSBs take it.
I'll go with that. Okay.
Is there any further objection?
Back, please. I would like to offer a substitute motion that simply says that the sexual harassment training, blah, 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 shall be made available at all times to staff, unpaid staff, and local station board, and is required of paid and unpaid staff. Period.
Is there any discussion or objection to that substitute motion?
Well, let me see if I have it.
Blah, blah, blah is not going to cut it, guys.
The blah clause. I have sexual... put that in there. I have sexual harassment training shall be made available at all times to should be paid staff, unpaid staff, and LSB members, and is required of paid and unpaid staff.
Is that the sense of it, Chris?
Yes.
Is there any objection to that amendment? Substitute motion. Hearing none. Is there any objection to the substitute motion? Hearing none. That is, we will make that suggestion to the PNB at the next in-person teleconference meeting.
Good work, folks.
Yes, indeed. Well, we have 10 minutes. I think that's time enough for one of Chris Condon's motions. Let's see. The first one was motion on funding.
What's the time on that? I don't have the...
I think we agreed to 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Thank you very much.
All right. Can I change the order and deal with the Grace Aaron motion? Is Grace Aaron
actually first. It was my mistake.
I don't think we need to have this. Is Grace with us?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, well then you must recuse yourself from this matter. And
well, I'm going to actually rule that this is not an appropriate motion for the governance committee. This is, if anything, it's for the personnel committee.
Well, let me speak to that if I may.
Certainly, go ahead.
It is if we want it to be, and it's not if we don't want it to be, and. This is something that whether it's in the governance committee or not, whether it's in the PNB Executive Commission or not, I think that I'd like to advance that it's a legitimate thing for the governance committee to say that a person is commended for good governance.
Well, actually, there are several parts to it.
That's the second part, number two, it is a question of governance, although it may be a question of personnel, but I would like it to be considered somewhere in the system and not just ruled out of order, that that Grace Aaron should be permitted, if she wishes to do so, the second paragraph I would withdraw. The second paragraph is just to put on the table that Grace should be paid for her position, for her work as interim executive director from the period that she was. And the third is that she be allowed to be a candidate without any conflict of interest considerations for the position of executive director. And that's...
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Lizette, yes.
I think, Chair, I agree with you to some extent that this belongs to the PNB. However, on the committees, we do have people who are not members of the PNB, and it'd be good to get from the committees that are made up of non-PNB members a sense of how they feel. And I agree that we can make it our business to make a recommendation, or we can make it not our business, and I think we should, because something like this is very sensitive. We know the kind of resistance we have on the PNB, and I would like to have a sense of what people who are not PNB members, how they feel about it.
Okay, at this point, I'll leave the call.
Thank you.
Let me say that one of the reasons I think Grace is leaving the call is because that in order to discuss this, we have to discuss things like Grace's performance, and which should really be done in an executive session.
This is not the place to do that.
It should not be done. It should not be done in a public meeting.
Okay.
So I stand my position that this is not appropriate for discussion. The first part, I mean, the commendation, I think is one could do. One could always make an acknowledgement, but
that's fine. However we do it, I'd like to get a sense of how people who are not PNB members, how they feel, because whether we like it or not, people are going to be talking.
Well, I think you have a clear sense of how Chris feels.
It's not that we should be discussing this. It's just to vote that the PNB should acknowledge that this is the opinion of well, it is or it isn't. I'd just like to put it to a vote. We don't have to discuss it.
I agree.
Well,
Okay. Well, no, and believe me, we could discuss it. We would just have to set up an executive session, because the question of compensation has to be handled in executive session. And I, for one, you know, believe that, you know, Grace has been doing a lot of work, and we don't believe in slavery, so we ought to sit down and look at the issue of compensation in closed session.
Well, here's something that we can do. If I can forward this to the Personnel Committee, and I can say at the next PNB meeting that I'm forwarding it to the Personnel Committee.
But can we vote on doing that? Just to say that it was something that we think we ought to do. I'm not saying that we need to deal with these issues.
If you want to vote on whether we think it's a good idea, I think we need to do that in executive session.
But not this isn't a good idea.
If you want to vote on whether or not we should send it to the Personnel Committee meeting, we could do that here.
This is a point of information. Can the Governance Committee recommend to the PNB that it deal with these three things? And that it go into the appropriate places to deal with these things. This isn't the place to deal with the substance of these three matters. This is just to say that these three matters should be handled in the system.
I'm thinking. Anyone want to weigh in on that?
R. Paul,
go ahead.
Yeah. Clearly, the first paragraph about commendation is something that could be done. There's no problem. And, of course, I agree that the latter two really probably should be in somebody's executive session. So maybe what we could do is pass the first paragraph and recommend that the PNB deal with the issue of compensation and eligibility for the job as a separate motion. In other words, pass the recommendation.
Divide the question.
The question, but not the full question. In other words, the first paragraph, as such, is fine. I think the second and third paragraphs are, they have a certain point of view. I think that it might be best if the committee simply said, recommends the PNB considers the compensation issue and considers the issue of allowing somebody to run for, be a candidate for the job. In other words, just replace the second and third paragraph with two lines each, basically. Very short, succinct lines, very summarizable lines.
Good. So I hear that as a motion to separate, to divide the questions. Is there any objection to that, first of all? Hearing none, I also hear this is an amendments to the next two items to basically, instead of asserting a position on this, basically saying we shall forward this to the PNB with the recommendation that they take this issue up.
Yes.
Is that correct, Arpal?
Well,
how did you want to phrase the second thing?
The way I would phrase it would be, we would recommend to the, boy, I should be typing this, but I can't talk and type. I would say something like, for the second paragraph, the committee recommends to the PNB that it consider the issue of compensating the interim executive director, period, paragraph. And second paragraph, the committee also recommends that the PNB consider the IED, allow the IED to be considered for a candidacy for the ED job.
I have a question on that one. If we didn't pass that, what harm would that do to stop her from being a candidate? I don't understand that.
She can be a candidate.
Stack.
Lizette?
I am not sure we should go into such great detail, because I don't even know if the IED is interested, and if she is, there's nothing to stop her. However, I was trying to suggest more than anything else whether the issue of compensating the current IED should be considered. That's where I wanted to go, and that's where I wanted to end. I just wanted to get a sense of how people who are not on the board feel.
Well.
How would you like to amend that, the motion as stated by Arpal? What would it say?
Take away that last sentence? Is that correct?
I think all I would want the motion to say is to recommend to the PNB to consider compensation for the current IED and leave it at that.
Replace both the last two paragraphs by just that. Is that correct?
Yes, just simple.
Okay. So do you want to make that as a motion?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any objection to Lizette's motion?
I'm not sure, but I'd like to speak to it. This is Ted, and what I would like to say is, are we going to get in trouble in that the position may not have been properly noticed and the candidates properly vetted before the decision was made to offer her the position?
But
we're not offering the position. We're not offering the position, and
right.
Lizette's motion takes that right out of the question. All we're saying is, thank you, Grace has done a great job, and please, PNB, consider compensation for her past work, period. End of story. If we go with Lizette, am I correct, Lizette?
Yes, because to go into other things, we're going into the business of deciding personnel matters, and we're not
right.
Here for that.
That's right.
The compensation, the policy,
the issue,
with
yeah.
respect to whether we compensate or not, is a governance thing.
Yeah, I agree.
This is Chris Condon. May I speak?
Yes.
What I was trying to get a sense of the board on is, are we allowed to recommend advocacy of anything? Can we say that we recommend that she should be compensated, or that we recommend that she should be able to be a candidate? I'm not in any way suggesting that we this is no Grace Aaron movement. It's just that she should be allowed to be a candidate.
Chris, why do you got that?
I don't even know whether she wants to. She should just be allowed to. And that's all I'm trying to say, that she'd be allowed to be a candidate without any conflict of interest consideration.
We're at time.
Yeah, we're at time. Is there a motion to extend time, I would say, for at least 7 minutes?
Chair,
I urge
that we not complicate this matter unnecessarily. Let's separate
Lizette, we're out of time. We either have
right.
to... Is there anyone who wants to extend time for, let's say, 7 minutes?
Oh, I see. Sorry.
I'd like to extend time for 7 minutes, please.
Okay. Is there any objection to extending time for 7 minutes? Hearing none. Lizette, what was it you wanted to say?
I'm trying to urge my colleagues that we do not complicate this matter more than it ought to be complicated. All we should be concerned about and separate the policy, the general policy for whether we have one for compensating an IED who is the chair of the board, or we don't. The other issues as to whether she is eligible for applying for the job and all that is not our business. It's the business of the personnel committee.
R. Paul for stack.
R. Paul, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, I think since it's divided, I think, in my opinion, the thing to do is to pass the first paragraph, the recommendation, and then just have what Lizette said, because that's basically what I was saying. I mean, we can withdraw mine, so we don't have to have me think it up again, and just have Lizette as the amendment to it, and we would pass. My idea is we would pass the first paragraph, and then the second two paragraphs would be replaced by the amendment from Lizette, and that would be it.
Remember, these are two separate questions, folks. We've already divided the questions. So one question, as R. Paul points out, is, you know, the acclamation, and then the second one is Lizette's very simple. I think it's just a sentence, right, Lizette?
Sorry?
I think it's just one sentence.
Correct.
Yeah. So... that sounds great to me. Let's vote. The two separate questions. There are two separate questions here. We divide them.
I have an amendment to the first one, actually. Maybe we can clear that out first. The first line's fine. The second one, the PMB supports this action and grants all authority to her as IED. That's a little weird. She has authority as IED, which she's already got. I would rewrite it as... the PMB supports our efforts as IED to turn BAI around, et cetera.
No problem.
Point of order.
Yep.
Mr. Chair, actually, there's an amendment on exactly that, and this would be a primary amendment to the same thing. We can't have two primary amendments simultaneously.
We have an amendment to the second part. The motion is that this has been. Separate.
George, this is Chris. If I withdraw my objection to that amendment, can we end this and just have it be so amended? I gather there's the will of the body to amend it in that way.
In the way that Lizette is suggesting.
Yes, if it's the will of the body to amend it in that way, that's fine. I just wanted to advocate it rather than recommend it. But if that's what we want to do, fine.
Well, George makes a good point on the first question. We don't have to give her authority. She's got that authority. We should strike that offending clause, vote on the first one, and then go back and vote on Lizette's second one. That's what I would suggest, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Well, that's the natural order anyway, since we've divided the question and that's the order they're in. So, Arpal, have I met your objections about this procedure?
I think so, yeah. The basic idea is
okay.
Vote on the first paragraph and then well, first we have to vote on this amendment.
Well, we can. I hear what you're saying. We have we should have taken it. We should have taken them up paragraph by paragraph. All right, let's vote on it. We have an amendment on the floor, which is with respect to the second two paragraphs. Is there any objection to Luzette's amendment to that? And Luzette, would you say it again?
If I remember it. We simply recommend to the PNB to consider compensation for the current IED.
Okay.
Is there any objection to that?
Yeah, George. And this is Ted. And as the son of a former union organizer, I'm not comfortable objecting to this. But I don't know whether Grace took this position with the understanding that she would do it on a voluntary basis. I would hate to lose her because she needs to make money and she cannot continue to do this. But if this position was not properly noticed and we start paying her, we might end up with some major legal...
There's no problem with notice for this. It was an interim position.
Yeah, it's an interim position.
And the positions have been...
And it's in the bylaws that... the California law that automatically, if we do not have an IED executive director, she becomes the...
The chair becomes.
Yeah, but there's nothing that says she can't be paid. In any case, this just asks them to take up the question.
Mr. Chair, this is Chris Condon. I'm objecting to the discussion of the substance of these issues. The purpose of
interviewing
correct
was not to discuss the substance.
You're correct. So
thank you.
So Ted, if Ted objects to it, and you guys
gave me clarification on what I needed. I don't object if that's what the law is.
Okay. So hearing no objection then to Luzette's amendment, that will be replacing the two second paragraphs. My amendment was to change the first paragraph, the second line, to the PMB supports our actions as IID to turn BIR on, et cetera, and removes this action and grants all authority to her. Is there any objection to that amendment?
Wait a minute. Which thing are you amending?
The first part.
Yeah, the first paragraph. And
yeah.
Okay, and so could you say it again, please?
The second line in the first paragraph should now read, the PMB supports our efforts as IED to turn BII around and reinvent itself as a powerful mission-driven radio station, etc.
Okay, the PMB supports her efforts
as IED
to turn WBII around,
etc. And the rest is the same. So the words, this action and grants all authority to her, is replaced by supports, that's replaced by her efforts.
Okay, that's what we need. Okay, so you want to replace the PNB supports this action and grants all authority to her?
Right.
Yes.
By her efforts.
And we are at time, folks.
Okay, is there any objection to that motion? Amendment. Okay. Hearing none, is there any objection to Chris Condon's motion as amended? Hearing none, the motion is passed. Do I hear a motion to adjourn? And the next meeting will be the third Thursday of June. Unless there's some emergency and the PNB really requires us to do something.
Wow, this is the first time I've worked so hard.
Yeah. Without a lot of fighting. Hey, thank you, folks. It's been wonderful.
Well done, all.
Okay.
George, will you stay on the line for just a second?
I want
to talk to you about Houston for one minute.
Chris, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.